For the most part, I do not like opera. I find it far too dramatic and just over the top. But there are some operas by Mozart that are beautiful, particularly for their overtures. Because in the overtures, what Mozart does is he presents the themes that are then going to be brought back later in the opera and developed. Well, today we heard the first psalm from the Psalter. The Psalter is made up of 150 psalms divided into five books that correspond to the five books of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And Psalm 1 is the overture of these 150 psalms, themes that will be later developed, and again they will be repeated. And so as I was thinking about Psalm 1, it struck me that here are the major themes that are presented here and will be developed in the rest of the Psalter. Theme 1, desire God's blessing. Theme 2, be discerning in the company that you keep. Theme 3, study God's word. And theme 4, stand for what is right. Our psalm began with the words, happy is the man, or a more traditional version of that would be, blessed is the man. So to know God's blessing is to know God's favor. And in our reading from Isaiah, we're left with a sense that the people had closed their ears to God, they'd closed their ears to his word, and so could not receive his blessing. And yet God's desire is that people would know that blessing. Listen again to what we heard from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. So here we discover four things about knowing God's blessing. First of all, he is our Redeemer. For people in the ancient world, to be redeemed meant to be bought back from slavery. And of course, the people of Israel were redeemed from slavery in Egypt. We are redeemed from the slavery of sin, that life that is preoccupied with self and is absorbed with this world. And yet here God says, I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. What is it to say that God is holy? It means that we understand that he has been set apart from the world, that he is different from the world, but he is the one that is to be revered, the one that is to be adored, honored, and loved. And so when we know that God is our Redeemer, when we know that he is the Holy One of Israel, listen to what God goes on to say. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. God is the one who gives direction to our lives. God is the one who gives meaning to our lives so that we can profit. But here's the thing about living under God's blessing. No sooner do we recognize what a glorious thing it is to know the blessing of God, that we are aware that there are other voices in the conversation. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Hear the verbs. Walks not, nor stands, nor sits in the company of the wicked, the sinner, or the scoffer. And this is what makes it really hard to know God's blessing. All around us, there are those who live in a way that is counter to the blessings of God. And we have to be careful that we don't walk, we don't stand, and we don't sit down in their company. Because if we do, we come into an environment that is skeptical and is dismissive of God. That's what it means to scoff. It means to disregard and forget all about God. And what's striking is in today's gospel, Jesus speaks about those who, although they are in the very presence of the Holy One of Israel, the second person of the Blessed and Holy Trinity, they scoff in his presence. They scoff in the presence of John the Baptist. In a sense, Jesus says, so often people are like children in a playground, or as he says here, in the marketplace, and they're taunting, they're ridiculing, they're laughing at those who would seek to follow in the way of God. So we live under God's blessing, but this means that we have to be discerning about the company we keep. And we then need to appreciate that we are to live our lives under the Holy Scriptures, because the passage goes on to speak about those who, rather than walking, standing, and sitting with those who oppose God, we are a people who want to walk, stand, and sit under the teaching of the Bible. And how did the psalm put it? Blessed are those whose ears are open to Scripture, so they meditate upon it day and night. One of the great graces we have as Catholics is that we have the examples of the saints, those who live lives contrary to the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. And because they sought to live their lives intentionally under the blessing of God, throughout the course of the year, we look to them as examples of men and women who are to inspire us, so that in our day, we too can stand under the Scriptures' teaching. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find this very difficult. To day in, day out, week in, month out, year in, year out, to meditate upon God's word. Because the weight of the world is such, the sin that is within me is such, that I so easily can become distracted. And that's why this theme of meditating upon God's word is going to be repeated throughout the Psalms, especially in Psalm 119, where it takes 178 verses to unpack what it means to meditate upon the word of God. But here's the promise. As we seek to intentionally give our lives to this meditation, to this study, our lives will then be ones that bear good fruit. I love that verse in the psalm, that we are like those trees planted by streams of water, always bearing fruit in due season. And that's worth noting. We don't bear fruit all the time. There are going to be times when the trees are not going to have leaves on them. There are going to be times in our lives that are like winter. But during those winter seasons, may we never give up. May we always say, I will continue. Because the day will come when spring will arrive, summer will come, and there will again be fruit on those trees. And so as we seek to live our lives, cultivating to do what is good, to do what is right, that will be the fruit of the blessed. And then we come to the psalm's conclusion. In all that he does, he prospers. Now think about people who invest financially, and they know how to do it well. They will often profit from their investments. And here, what we're being told is that those who know how to invest well spiritually will profit from such an investment. In all he does, he prospers, says the psalmist. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The overture of the Psalter, Psalm 1, announces themes of such importance that you and I have to remember them each day, each week, each month, each year of our lives. Theme 1, desire God's blessing. Theme 2, be discerning about the company you keep. Theme 3, study God's word. Theme 4, stand for what is right. Beloved, during this Advent season, may our lives resound with the notes of those who know such blessing. Because do you know what your life is supposed to be and my life is supposed to be? Our lives in this world are to be an overture that introduces the themes that will be fully developed when, by the grace of God and our good works, we enter into the fullness of God's blessing and heavenly glory. And that's when the opera will fully come alive.